Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 56 of our Year of the Bible adventure, looking now at some verses in the book of Deuteronomy, the series of speeches that Moses gives as his final farewell. Now look, this is what I've been trying to tell you guys for 120 years, is to summarize what he's doing. And I just want to talk about for a second the first one. There are other ones about unclean animals and false prophets and all this kind of stuff, but I just wanted to mention this chapter 12, the first one, which is about worshiping the Lord in one place. Worshiping the Lord in one place. So in the ancient Near East, and in, it looks like, well, we know from biblically Israelite history to that point, it was common to have altars to God sort of wherever you went, right? So you read about that Jacob setting up an altar when he's out in the wilderness. Elijah repairs an altar at some point. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Lord says through Moses, no, there's going to be one place once you're in the land, right? So this is all looking forward to once they're in their giant spread out land, which I read recently is about the size of New Jersey. Like, what an unfortunate comparison, isn't it? I mean, because it's about the size of, you know, Maui, Hawaii. It's like, ah, yes, that's beautiful. But it's about the size of New Jersey. Anyway, it's all spread out. So, you know, 12 tribes-ish, 11 have tribal allotments, and then the Levites spread out. And they're going to have the worship of God happen at one particular place. Don't go then, he says. Don't go set up altars all over the place the way you would. Certainly don't go set them up in high places, or he says what, like under every leafy tree, which is a reference to and a scorn of Canaanite worship, where they set up altars all over the place. No. There's going to be one place, that tabernacle place where God's name dwells. And God's name being there is a sign of God's presence. Being there, his full presence being there. So whoever, okay, and so you know that there are sacrifices required at certain times. So sacrifices can only be made at that place, at that altar, whatever that place is where God has instructed, I guess, the Levites to set things up. Now that means that if it's in one tribe's place over here, and you're a member of some other tribe way over there, you've got to travel all the way across New Jersey. You got to travel all the way across New Jersey in pilgrimage to go make the sacrifice at that place. There are other sacrifices that are made, offerings, Thanksgiving offerings and stuff, and those you can make in your own hometown. That's fine. You can do that. But there's certain ones that you have to go. You have to go allow those sacrifices to be burnt offerings to be made on the actual altar as appointed, and that's where God is. Now this has some interesting consequences. Sort of the funniest one for me is that all cooked meat was to that point was sort of taken as a sacrifice. You would slaughter the animal. You would offer, you know, you'd offer it to the Lord. You would slaughter it. You would roast it, and then you would eat it, right? And that's how. But if you can't do that, then you're just gonna have to. Then you're either gonna have to. Nobody's gonna be able to eat food. Nobody's gonna be able to eat meat, or you're gonna have to change the rules a little bit. And what they decide to do is change the rules a little bit. Well, that sounds entirely reasonable to me. But the other one is, so you've got one of the consequences is every once in a while. All of the family of Israel, every once in a while in the course of a year, all of the family of Israel is going to get back together, right? So they're going to spread out over this territory the size of New Jersey. They're going to be all spread out, and they're going to live their own lives, and they're going to do their own things and that kind of stuff. But they're going to come back together periodically to worship the Lord. And that's the only, that's like the main, it's not the only, but that's the main way that they can't go be cloistered off just in their own tribes. It's not the tribe of Manasseh that God elected, that God chose. It's not the tribe of Benjamin or even of Judah that God chose, exclusive of the others. It's Israel, the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes. They are the ones. They collectively are the ones that have been chosen by God. And so they've got to get together. They've got to be together. And I just think that this is such, I mean, look, you know, here is an example of the importance of sort of, I mean, not to be dumb about it, but like of in-person corporate worship, right? Corporate meaning like all together, in-person worship. That on the one, sure, you can go do stuff all by yourself, you know, wherever you are. And like there's value to that. I say my prayers alone, you know, like, and like that's all good things. But like ever so often and for like really important things, like we should all be together. We should be together and do it. And when we're all together, the Lord looks at us, looks at the family gathered, right? Kind of like looks down at the family gathered. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's an important thing. And in a world, our world, that is so atomistic and individualistic and sort of self-reliance is seen as such a thing. Independence is so important and all that kind of self-sufficiency and all that kind of stuff. There's this thing like, no, there is a real value. There's only a real value, but there's something so valuable about gathering together to worship that the Lord commands it, right? And says, you can't make these sacrifices anywhere else. Now, a way that this is different than both temple worship that they would develop and sort of our own worship is that where God was going to be could change. Because remember, they don't have a temple yet. They've only got this tabernacle, this tent that like travels around. So God would tell the Levites or whoever where he wanted to go. Sometimes it'd be over here. Sometimes it could be over there. Maybe it's over there. Maybe it's north. Maybe it's south. Maybe it's closer to Trenton. Maybe it's down by the beach. Maybe it's up near the mountains. I don't know. I don't actually know very much about New Jersey. Maybe it's over there. Who knows? And they would go. So it's not to say that it was the sole possession of any one tribe, Jerusalem would become a center later in a way that it is not here. It is not at this point in Deuteronomy. The point is the tabernacle can move around. It can go different places. Wherever it went, the 12 tribes would follow. And it's amazingly inclusive about what it says. Who's supposed to go? It's not just the adult males that need to go make the pilgrimage and go do whatever. It's specifically says both male and females, your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the aliens and sojourners, all those. It's really quite inclusive to gather people in that way. Anyway, I was very struck by that. I thought that was a really important thing for us to see. Now, of course, it would cause problems later. Because when the temple was destroyed in the first century, then where do you go to make your sacrifices? And that's when you see the rise of rabbinic Judaism in a way that is different than the sort of sacrificial system that pertained in the tabernacle and the temple. But for the time being, that's a great thing. Now in the church. In the church, we have some sort of similar thing. The difference, right, is that we have these centers of corporate worship, but we don't have like one single one for the whole world, because we understand that the sending of the Spirit means that God is the sending of the Spirit to the people of God and to the bread and the wine of the Eucharist means that God can be at all times and in all places for us. However, we still see that there's something important about doing it together. We might not all gather because we're not going to be limited to one group or family. We want to be the whole human race. The whole human race can't fit in any one place, not even New Jersey. But all of the altars of the world where Christ is proclaimed as Lord and the sacraments are celebrated, the worship is celebrated and the sacraments are consecrated as the body and blood of Christ, those are the places where Jesus can be. But it can't be done alone. You can worship, you can pray alone, and we should pray alone. We can study the scripture alone. It helps us study the scripture with other people, but you can do it alone. But you can't celebrate the Eucharist alone. Our Roman Catholic priests have some exceptional circumstances to this, but even for then, you don't celebrate the Eucharist. A priest doesn't celebrate the Eucharist all by himself or herself. There needs to be at least one other person there, but preferably the community itself gathers for the Eucharist, and that's when God looks down and sees the family. Anyway, I thought that was a really beautiful kind of innovation. The commentaries I read about it said that there was nothing like this in the ancient Near East or in Israelite history to this point. That remember, we've talked a couple of times about how people have referred to Deuteronomy as the theological backbone of the Old Testament, and I said I had no idea what they were talking about. Apparently, this is one of those things. This limitation of worship to a single spot, a spot that can move, but nonetheless, there's a single thing, and it had to do with opposing Canaanite worship, but also this sort of theological innovation. Gathering the people together was something integral to Israel and its worship. All right, well. Piano lesson's almost over, so I should sign off. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, happy reading. Talk to you tomorrow.